Accession number 18215, Reel 2.
Mr. Rosetsky, Reel 2.
Right. Well, I also traded in some selling cigarettes because my father was entitled to get wholesale cigarettes, and they were rare. So that was a small profit. Otherwise, I had no other income. I learned much later that as even a young regular officer, I was supposed to get my underground salary, because there were definitely funds from America, a lot of dollars. I never get one salary. So now I was on my own and doing this job wholeheartedly, completely devoted to the underground duties. So as I said, mentioned before, I started with platoon. Then I was asked to help the officer responsible for training, you know, our members, because most of them had no military experience, because they were young, and those with ranks were arrested. So naturally I did that, and then gradually, I was in charge of two placówkas, which to strength of platoon, and so on. I also trained four classes of cadet officers, which happened to be still alive, one in Warsaw and another in Łódź. So then our duty at the first stage was to collect intelligence information. For instance, my terrain was completely covered by the observers, noting the passing military planes, German planes, and so that the whole terrain was definitely having an observer taking notes. I was lucky to get the sketches of the German plane, so we could easily recognize what kind of the planes were passing, mostly to the Eastern Front when the German attacked Russia. So apart from that, gradually, I was taking over more duties, being in charge of two placówkas. It's very difficult to say whether that was the strength of Pluton, because sometimes there was much more. Anyway, in the course of 5 years underground job, I was at the end in charge of a quarter of a district called Tartar. Mind you, our organization was based on 16 regiments, infantry regiments, which was having cryptonym Tartak. Also in Tarnów was inspectorate covering Tarnów, Brzesko and Dąbrowa, three regions. What do you call counties? And so I was gradually having two placówkas, and at the end I was in charge of sub-districts called D2/Roman 6. Being only second lieutenant, I was having rights of commanding officer of battalion. So So I could even sentence someone to death. Because there was lack of any officers. So that was overwhelming me, that duty and great responsibility. Anyway, I built that terrain to the strength of about 1,000 people. There was also organization along the normal units for the fighting detachments called SOP, corresponding to more or less to English Death Army. So in other words, security, because from the very beginning we are preparing ourselves for general rising in Poland. And that was definitely possible, because as far as I remember, at the end of the underground movement, our whole army was about 320,000 strong in whole Poland. So naturally, you would be probably surprised how it happens that so many people joined this underground movement. Now, the simple answer was that knowing intentions of Germans and knowing how they treated, knowing that they were killing some people, imprisoning, even if a peasant was trying to sell a piece of meat or sausages, if caught by gendarmes, he could be killed or tortured on the spot. So another, the whole nation was against German, and you could not expect simple peasant, you know, to be patriotic and so on. But they had to be, because they saw what was going on. That's why the whole nation was involved just to resist German occupation. And Frank, who was in charge of Krakow, what is corresponding to Krakow was in charge of the South Poland. Is it a county as well? English name, province?
Yes, or province.
Province. So he was very cruel. Anyway, so that made people, if anybody was asked to join the movement, I haven't found one refusal. So, but naturally, these were people not very often clever, and but the system was very good. If anybody was engaged, he wanted someone above and someone below, and that was it. Was a chain organization. Of course, the company officer, they had. They knew the headquarters, people, and so on. So practically, I did, as I mentioned at the beginning, I started actually my relationship with the underground with first inspectorate, because apart from that, the Tarnów was district underground movement. There was inspectorate. Covering us, again, I mentioned, I just repeat again, Tarnów, Brzesko, and Dąbrowa. Then we belonged to the Krakow, I would call it brigade. So in other words, I'm sorry, but I'm probably missing the correct English names for those
units.
But anyway, so the umbrella was Krakow, then inspectorate covering Tarnów, Dąbrowa, and Brzesko, and then sub-districts, in other words, 16 infantry regiment, AK, was SN'd obwód, so we say district. divided into four regions, some regions. And again, I repeat, I was charged of one on the east side of Tarnów district. Again, Alexia, how to say, powiat. Have you come across from anybody the Polish description word powiat?
No.
So, which means, say, I would say county, then. So, my terrains was quite huge one. You can see I have here a map just to illustrate. That was my area. We can read some names, which was under my command. Started from Klikowa, Pawenzów, Śmigło, Lisia Góra, Zaczarnie, Wola Rzędzińska, Rzędzin, Gumniska, Skrzyszów, Ładna, Średziny, Jodłówka, Jaszczębia, Nowa, Pogórska Wola and even Ryglice. So it was a huge area, and that was all under my command. So
this is to the northeast of Tarnów.
I would say east of Tarnów and northeast of Tarnów and south, because even I had some more terrain called Łękawica, Łękawka, and so on. And so I had regular meetings with the platoon pod officers. Non-commissioned officers, and they received instruction, commands. And what was very important in my terrain, I had a bunker in which there was a radio listening to London 24 hours. That was in flat terrain, and I believe that peasant owner of this land even didn't know it was there. So it was so clever done. Now, as early as in 1940, I was visited by Gestapo. Someone accused me that I was telling a peasant not to supply contingents of grain whatsoever. So it wasn't actually military accusation. And would you believe it was sufficient, any suspicion under the smallest one, there was never a case they would leave that chap at home. They would simply take him away. Now, it just happened, and I knew pretty well German. I studied for 6 years, and I fooled them, and I said, what you're telling, I know where you have the information from. Now, the name of that chap was Bajorek, corporal in Polish army, who cooperated with Gestapo and supplying information and spying, actually, on Polish underground movement. But against me, he had none, because I was so clever that doing my job that even, as I said at the start, even my parents didn't know what because most work post was prepared at night. And then I had a special courier to deliver wherever to all my units. And another way was just having meeting with platoon non-commissioned officers. Now, so that was so funny that it's psychological. If you speak German to German, they think that you are somehow friendly with them. So this was the only case where they left me. And they even said to my mother, we are leaving you, son, because he said the truth. And I would say that was a pure lie, what I said. I simply guessed that who could be that chap who passed to the Germans some information about me. So that was my first encounter at Gestapo. From that moment, I knew that soon or later I will be discovered and imprisoned. I developed a fantastic instinct. You wouldn't believe it. I could foresee some events. For instance, that if there was some sort of arrest planned by Germans, I simply knew it and told my friend, change your sleeping somewhere safe. They didn't. Next day, they were gone. Now, another strange thing. As you saw on the map, my train was very big. So I had to visit all these units to do the ordinary job, training, whatever, and so on, getting information, spreading underground press, and so on. So I used bicycle, and I did that at night, and usually covering about 18, 20 kilometers, whether it was raining, heavy wind, so I was there. So after that first visit of Gestapo, it came the time when one of my colleagues who was in the same officer school in Komorow Gostrowi Mazowiecki has been caught and so tortured that he gave names of some my terrain people in charge of platoons. And so naturally they at night they sent SS and Gestapo to collect them. Now I wasn't aware of that. And somehow, and that chap probably knew my roots, but he didn't know one thing, that I never used that route the same in the same pattern. When I had my foot on the bike pedal, then I decided to go this way, this way. Now, would you believe they set traps on that route which my colleague gave them, and I omitted everyone. Further, when I heard what was happening, I tried to warn some other people. They already knew what was happening, and they couldn't believe it that I was still not caught. So from that moment, and I was wanted. I was also wanted to be arrested. So I just simply slipped out of the net. From then, I had to be using all sort of hiding places, sleeping in sheds or anywhere, even in Polish winter, where at 35 centigrade, I was in hay or something with hot bottles, not bottles, but bottles with hot water. And because nobody would take me to family, because in every house there had to be a list who of all residents. So naturally, I was not welcome anywhere. Now, in the last stage, my hiding place was beyond our Tartak area, near Dębica. And here I want to tell a very interesting thing. Now, we didn't know anything about V-bomb at all, but I can swear that there must have been launching near Dębica, because we saw something climbing, a bullet with the tail of some fumes and so on, and not very high above the ground. That was definitely a V-bomb which we were trying to test as far as Baltic Sea. That what has happened, that one when, was dropped and was saved by Polish underground movement, then came to the stage where the collection took place by Dakota from the terrain in our inspectorate area. I was actually supposed even to be in charge of security. Unfortunately, it was so serious that Colonel Musiałek Łowicki, pseudonym Mirosław, was in charge of it. So we know the stories from the all sort of publications, but it was. But we also knew right away about that. So that was very, very lucky, because that landing spot was not the best one. It was a meadow. So when the Dakota was stuck, luckily they prepared just in case before some wood and whatever stuff in case to make it safer starting action. Anyway, so here we are. Probably now we're coming to the subject of burza, which would mean in English tempest. Naturally,
this is an operation.
As we were preparing to general rising, so naturally we had to prepare ourselves, prepare weaponry, whatever necessary, train people, and so on. And Tarnów Inspectorate planned 3 battalions for action burza.
For the purpose. Which year is this?
That is actually our battalion was called in 1944 in July, and I was the first one to organize a company called Jaszcząb, which means eagle. And then other companies followed. So, but the sad story that we didn't have sufficient weapons, I would say 5% what was needed. Therefore, we are expecting supplements from drops by Allied planes. And so they did. But for 539 prepared terrains for accepting those drops, only 29 took place. So 3 in December, 1 in January, and 23 in September. Now, naturally, that was a great help, but still not sufficient what we needed for the purpose of calling units to fight Germans, to interrupt communications, sabotage, gain some more weaponry. So instead of appointing 3 battalions, Colonel Mirosław, that's a pseudonym, decided on 1 battalion. Why? We already knew precisely what was happening in eastern Poland already in 1943. The Polish underground movement was persecuted members were killed by Lithuanians, Belarusians, Ukrainians, and Russians. The tactics of Germans was different. They simply arrested whoever they wanted or whoever they had on the list. Russians had different tactics. They talked to people for hours, to our members, caught somehow by spies, because they wanted more information about other people. But soon we learn that those people caught disappeared, killed on the spot, or sent to Russia. Most cruel were Lithuanians and Ukrainians. They not only butchered Polish underground movement, but even people. Somehow we failed to understand why they hated Polish nation, because Ukraine was never independent country. But they wanted to be, of course. I would say they were even treated before the war better than Poles, because we wanted to make them friends, you know, and to cooperate. But somehow this not happened in war times.
You mean they were adopting a policy of ethnic cleansing towards the
ethnic
Poles?
Ethnic cleansing, yes, yes. That's why in Vilno area, or any units they got, they were either killed or taken to Russia. Even now, we don't know where they were buried. The biggest extermination was 27th Division of Novogródek. Because unfortunately, Polish government and Polish headquarters, you know, was not warning us before how to behave, what to do, and so on. So naturally, when the action Buja was called, not everybody was very happy to join, because we knew what would happen to us later. Because Russian pushing hard is, and we never trusted Russians. Anyway, we already learned about Katyn, where they killed 12,000 officers. So Russians were killing not only Poles, they were killing even own people, so that's why they have so many gulags, slave labor in Siberia. Even my wife, as a young girl of 15, was deported with her mother and grandmother deep to Siberia to chop the woods. So there was systematic plan from both sides, Germans and Russians, to eliminate Polish nation. Anyway.
Do you mean then that the fear of the